Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome, you both, to another episode of the Chicago Bulls Sports Ethos Coverage Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy and co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill. And apologize, it's been a few weeks. I was actually out last week with the vid. I got the COVID. Do be careful out there, everybody. It sucks. I did not have a fun time with it, Trey. I know you said you also might have had an experience recently. And I did not have a lot of fun, but I'm feeling a lot better now. And I feel like the doctor that I saw, my primary care physician, was really prepared to get me through this experience.
And while it has been, I think you said a couple weeks, we hit the Zach LaVine stuff, and we're just in time for the Rudy rumors and the draft coming up. You know, everybody wants to talk about Coby White getting kicked out of town. Perfect timing to come back from your COVID vacation.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to talk about here, everybody. But before we do get started, I want to take you all take a minute here to remind you all to please take a moment to follow at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it right now. Not even joking. But yeah, so I think, you know, let's not bury the lead here. Let's get to what the people really want to hear, the reason they probably clicked to open this episode here, Trey. The biggest news, I think, for the Bulls is being linked to my man, your man, I don't know, French man, speaking of COVID, Mr. Rudy Gobert, who kicked off the whole COVID scare, unfortunately, rubbing all the mics and was a real A-hat. But he did apologize for that since I think people do make mistakes. But anyways, we've been linked to him, and I know that we've already talked a little bit about this trade, but just initial reactions there. The report does say, it's from Jake Fisher. It's not necessarily the most solid thing in the world, but the report does mention basically the asking price here so far is Vucevic plus Patrick Williams. So give me your initial thoughts on that.
I'm very sure that is what Danny Ainge is leaking out to everyone that he can talk to right now. Danny Ainge was known in Boston as the guy who almost made the deals. Like you heard it every time. Well, they almost pulled the trigger on this. They almost pulled the trigger on that. And part of why you had to say that was because when it was trade time, Danny Ainge is literally just putting out everything that he wants and is trying to sway public pressure that way. So I'm sure that in a perfect world, Danny Ainge is thinking he can unload this Rudy Gobert salary on the Bulls, get an expiring in Vooch, and get a top four draft pick in Patrick Williams for it. But to me, I think that Danny Ainge is putting that out there because he knows that Rudy's value is not even close to that around the league.
Yeah, I think, there is a market for Rudy, obviously, but I do think it's not as expansive as it might have been, prior to the Jazz just basically floundering for several years, despite having one of the best defenses in the NBA. I don't think, personally, I don't think you can put all that at Gobert's feet. I think Gobert is a very talented player, a very talented defensive player, which we'll get into here in a minute. But yeah, you mentioned the contract here, and just to kind of go over the specifics of that contract, he is under contract through the 2025-26 NBA season, making roughly about $40 million a year, topping out.
I'll read the numbers to you. Yeah. I got them ready for you.
Go ahead.
So next year we would pay Rudy $38 million. Mm-hmm. The year after $41 million. The year after $43.8 million. Mm-hmm. And then the year after that is 34-year-old season. We'd be paying him $46.7 million against the cap.
Yeah, so
it is a very significant chunk of money to, and I mean, he is only, I'm pretty sure he's 30. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the 30 through 34 years, mm-hmm. but 43 and 46 on the back end of those is eating up quite a bit of cap space.
Yeah, and I don't think Gobert's really had an injury-prone season to date. which is, you know, makes me go, you know, that's awesome. Some people will say, oh, that's awesome. Obviously, he's not, quote unquote, injury prone. To me, that just makes me think, you know, oh, man, this guy's due. Like, there's going to be a season where he's going to sit out because he's got foot problems or whatever. I mean, big guys typically have foot back problems, things like
looking that. Looking at his game log, it looks like he's been pretty healthy, except in 2017, 2018, he only played 56 games. So I don't have it in front of me what happened that year, but he has been pretty healthy. And I think part of that is he's asked to do kind of the same things. I think he doesn't play reckless. Like you talk so much about Alex Caruso playing reckless. NBA Finals, Marcus Smart plays a little reckless. Time Lord plays a little reckless from time to time, or he did before he was hurt. And like Rudy is always in the right place at the right time, and he uses his size and his length and that wingspan to always make the right place. I think he is someone who is going to age fairly well on the defensive end. So for me, I don't hesitate to pay him to get him for those years. Those numbers are so big. I think unless the team really thinks that Rudy Gobert is going to turn them into a contender, I don't see any team trading for him.
And I haven't even said if I like this or not yet, Trey, but before we get into that, you know, we're talking about this contract. It's 40 plus mil, basically after this next season, every year until 25, 26. And you're going to be maxing out Zach LaVine, who's also going to be making 45-ish mil a year for the next 5 years. So basically you're putting 90 mil of your cap space, which is a very large chunk of it, into two guys. And let me just ask you this before we get into even more of the weeds here, do you think you can win here? I mean, how different is Zach LaVine and Rudy Gobert, compared to, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert? Is that the same team basically? I mean, are we looking at the same team as the Utah Jazz here, or do you think the Bulls have potential to be better?
If you look at it from just the star-to-star perspective, Mitchell and Zach, I think they're fairly similar players. The difference is the surrounding players. Advanced stats, eye test, everything. Rudy Gobert was the best perimeter defender on the Utah Jazz last year. Not defender. He was not even including interior, just only looking at the perimeter. Rudy Gobert was their best perimeter defender last year. They don't have any assets to stymie the defense whatsoever. And so we're all Bulls fans here. We saw at the beginning of the season what Caruso was doing, what Lonzo was doing, what Io was doing. Javonte Green, that defensive intensity, that defensive pressure where they are aggressive and they attack. Yeah. That is the opposite of what Utah does. So for me, I think the difference is night and day compared to the Jazz roster and the Bulls roster. And I think that this roster that we have built, if DeRozan can continue to spot up a little behind the three-point line every once in a while, I think Zach and Rudy with Caruso, with Io, with Lonzo Ball, with Patrick Williams, because again, to me, I don't move Patrick Williams from. So I'm including Patrick Williams as the four beside Rudy.
Right.
So to me, I think that's a core that can compete for a title.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think that's very good. And you know, at first, my initial reaction, Trey, was like, yeah, once I saw Patrick Williams was involved in this, I said, no, that's just such a steep asking price. I think maybe you can convince me that you take that if you have something else coming back from the Jazz on the other side. But I took a look at their roster and I was messing around on the trade machine. There's not really anything that entices me that they could throw in as far as a player goes. Can they throw maybe a future first in? You know, maybe it's heavily protected or something and it ends up converting to a low, you know, a 25 to 30, maybe 20-ish, you know, first round pick.
Like I think a lottery protected pick like Portland did last year, like. Yeah. Where I think we have until the 2028 season where it's lottery protected.
I think you could maybe talk me into and convince me into taking that just because I'm so, you know, as I thought about it more and more, just thinking more about, you know, what Rudy Gobert does for this defense. Because like you said.
So here's my question with that then. Before we go any further, I think it's a championship level. I think it's a championship level team with Gobert and Patrick Williams. I do not think if you trade Patrick Williams in the deal, I do not think the Bulls are title contenders, because we've seen this postseason, you have to have wings. You have to have guys in that 6'7" to 6'9", 6'10" range. And you need a lot. You need three or four of them. The Bulls, they've got Patrick Williams. That's it.
Yeah.
And Caruso's too small. Lonzo's that size, but he's the point guard. So, like, he can play the wing, but you don't necessarily want to depend on him as your wing. Zach's not a wing. He's more of a guard to me. DeRozan, he's already a not a minus defender, but he's definitely not a plus. You need some good wing presence on the defensive end if you're going to win a title in today's league. And I think if you move Patrick Williams, I don't think the Bulls have that on there, have anyone that has that potential on their roster.
Well, I think you do have Javonte Green. You do have Derek Jones Jr. I don't know if they're going to bring him back. I think DJJ is expired.
I mean, Javonte Green's like 6'3".
Yeah, he's not tall enough, Derek Jones Jr.,
but can you see Derek Jones Jr. starting in this NBA Finals? Because I can't. Like, I can't picture that. I can picture I can picture him starting in a finals.
Especially not on a team that has DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gobert that's going to be offensively, we'll say, limited, to be in with. I mean, you're taking Vooch out, who obviously can extend the floor and can step out and hit a three and space the floor a little bit. And you're putting Gobert in, who has to basically play under the basket at all times. So I don't see Derek Jones Jr. being the answer there. No, I agree with you. So I think Patrick Williams is a far better option there. Derek Jones Jr. did have a good year from three, obviously, this past season, but I wouldn't count on that, being the norm. I think that was just kind of an outlier, and he had a good season. So I agree with you there. But, as we were talking about, with the defense, and this is what I was talking all last season on this podcast about, I wish the Bulls had a elite center that was, on the level of Vooch, but just a different profile player, which is exactly, this is what we're talking about here with Gobert. Gobert instantly takes you to a top five defense, I think, especially with this squad, like you said, that's surrounding him. If you got Caruso healthy, you've got Lonzo Ball healthy, you've got a really, really great defense. But the Bulls, ended the season 13th in offensive rating, 16th in opponent points per game, and 23rd in defensive rating. But through that first month of the season, Trey, when we were healthy and, like you said, playing our best basketball, we were 8th in defensive rating. So, they've obviously got the potential there. I think, in my heart of hearts, if I were to say, what's the potential of this Bulls squad defensively, I would say it's probably top half of the league, 10 to 15 area. I think it's probably a reasonable thing to, really think about. And I'm talking about with Vooch, without trading for Gobert. But if you trade for Gobert, like I said, that instantly takes you up, I think, to the top five in terms of, defensive rating. I mean, you'd have to agree with me there, right?
Yeah. Rudy is a top 10 defense by himself in today's game. So I agree with that 100%. I want to trade for Rudy. I think that he is severely underrated. I think people act like he is the problem in Utah when it comes to the playoffs, and he's not. It's the fact that they have literally no other rim protectors than him. Mm-hmm. So not only that, but their other defensive players are just so poor that when he's not there to cover for them, they just constantly get exposed, which literally is exactly what we were saying about Vucevic when Vooch lost Lonzo and Caruso.
Yeah.
So I think Rudy would be a great fit here. I really hope that the Bulls can get it done. The only options the Bulls, so say they trade Patrick Williams for Rudy, which I'm worried about. You have the taxpayer mid-level, which I think is going to be about $6.5 million this year. And that's it. Maybe the draft pick at 18. But again, I'm thinking players that I have faith that can play in the NBA Finals or can play in the conference championship. I don't know that you can get a wing at $6.3 million. You might be able to get Mitchell Robinson.
I think you could add somebody in that exception. Now, is it an ideal situation? No, but I think you could, you're talking about like the PG Tuckers of the world. You're talking about like the Torrey Craigs of the world. Are these guys fantastic or great? Are they the ideal, you know, starter there at that spot? No. I mean, you know, you're looking at the finals now and you've got, you know, Andrew Wiggins out there. Man, Kevon Looney's just been incredible this finals, by the way. So, or this whole playoff run, I should say. And great to see him have a good game in that last game also. But yeah, I think, you know, there are definitely going to be some other moves that need to be done if you pull off this trade and trade for Rudy Gobert. And I mentioned those ratings there for the Chicago Bulls defense. Not great, obviously. The Jazz defense, by comparison, finished 10th in defensive rating and 5th in opponent points per game, which actually I think is a down year for them. I think they actually had better years the previous seasons. But yeah, Gobert, I think, like you said, had a big part in that. So if we can somehow convince them not to take Patrick Williams, you know, here's another guy I wanted to talk about with you on this pod, Trey, is Coby White. I mean, does Coby White have any trade value here? Is this someone that they would want to maybe add? Obviously, he's younger. If they're adding Vooch, I mean, to pair with Donovan Mitchell, and they've already got Jordan Clarkson, do they even want Coby White? I guess just around the league, I mean, does Coby White have any trade value right now?
I definitely think he has trade value. I don't know how much trade value, but you have to think if they're trading Rudy Gobert, they're probably looking to go younger. So they're not necessarily trading for Vooch to pair with him. They're trading for Vooch's expiring contract. And then maybe they get Coby White and they also get the 18th pick. So then maybe they try and trade Mike Conley. They try and trade Jordan Clarkson. And so maybe Coby White steps into that Jordan Clarkson role. I think Coby definitely has some value out there. I'm not sure how much it is, mm-hmm. given how up and down his play was. Yeah. And the fact that I mentioned earlier, we don't have a lot of wings. That's because we have tons of amazing guards. We've got Lonzo. We've got Zach. We've got Caruso. We've got Io. So if Coby, who is just a scorer, really, like he's a heater. He's a microwave guy.
Yeah.
If he wasn't on, he just got sent back to the bench. It wasn't like he got to play through his bad game. So I think there's value there, but I think the real value is Coby plus Vooch or Coby plus the 18th pick. And I would love to see them try and move him for a wing. So maybe even, like you said, a Torrey Craig. Maybe, you know, just find a bigger body and give Coby somewhere where he's going to have a chance to develop, because there's so many people in front of that depth chart for him, and he's up for extension, whereas Io's on a rookie deal. I think he's going to shine elsewhere if he's going to shine.
Yeah, I think Coby White, 22 years old still, that's probably the thing he has going for him best, is that he's still very young. Still able to develop, obviously, like you said, into a really good player. I mean, a lot of people don't reach their peaks until 25, 26, somewhere in that range. So, you know, there's still a lot of unknowns with Coby White. You know, like you said, he had a very up and down season. The ups were really awesome. You know, he would come out and hit, you know, three or four three-pointers, really good efficiency. The downs were even more pronounced, I felt like, this past season, you know, especially when he's returning from all the injuries and everything like that. Just had some really, really awful games. So inconsistencies are really a question mark there. And, you know, the playoffs, he just didn't feel like he disappeared. He had some games where he, you know, played pretty decently, but it just didn't seem like you get the feeling that, you know, that position, you could maybe at the backup point guard, you can maybe get somebody that, you know, contributes a little bit more. You mentioned Io Desumu. I think it has to be in the Bulls' plan here to really transition to more Desumu as the backup point guard, as opposed to Coby, just because he contributes in more facets of the game rather than just scoring. If you need just a pure scorer though, Kobe's your guy. And like you said, I think he's really good at that. But I think Io just gives you a lot more in terms of defense, in terms of, you know, getting the ball out in transition, ball security. Ball security is a huge thing with me with Coby White, because his ball security is absolute dog crap, which is not good if you're going to be running point guard. But I think he, you know, projects more as an off guard for a team that has a better point guard on the team. So do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, especially at this stage of his career. I think he's definitely suited to be that secondary playmaker. He could be like the Marcus Smart role in Boston beside like a Jason Tate. Like, he doesn't necessarily have to play beside a point guard. He could play beside a Luka or a LeBron, but he definitely needs to be the guy that's has, that's the secondary option. He's not the primary. The other guy breaks the defense down, gets Kobe the ball with a bent defense, and then Kobe is great at just breaking that defense, finding an open shot, or even like when the defense is rotating, he's good about driving, making the defense collapse, and dropping off a pass or two. He has been developing his playmaking. It's just, it's hard to get on the court when you have that many people in front of you. So to me, I think this is the year he probably gets moved this offseason. I'd put it at like 85%.
Yeah, and this offseason also is when he becomes eligible for a rookie scale extension. So let me ask you that, Trey. Personally, I don't see the Bulls extending him. I think, like you said, I think this is the offseason where he does get moved. I'm not sure when the exact date he becomes eligible for that is. I know free agency opens on July 1st, so it's got to be probably in conjunction with that or around there. So, and that's only about 3 weeks away, so we're really getting up there towards some exciting things happening again for Bulls basketball. But yeah, I think – you know, as I said, I think, you know,
here's the question. Why would they?
Why would they extend him?
He's a restricted free agent come next off season. The Bulls would have the right to match any offer he signed elsewhere. So unless Kobe, like, say they tried to trade him and it doesn't work out, or they want to keep him for the year. And he's like, you know what? I love it here. I'd really like to secure like $20 million. How about we sign, you know, I don't know what he makes now, but
I think he's due to make about $7 million or so this season.
Yeah, you know, so like even two, like if we can get him at a decent number because he wants the security for like 2 or 3 years, I could see AK and them locking that up, because if you can get guys on a good number on an extension, you tend to do it. But other than Kobe being willing to take a huge discount, there's no reason for the Bulls to do it because they can match anything he signs next year.
Yeah, he's due to make about $7.4 million this year. And then next season, if we want to extend him a qualifying offer, the cap hold will be about a little under $10 million. So, yeah, I think you're right, Trey. I mean, I don't think there's any way in the world that they extend Kobe White just because, you know, he hasn't played particularly well. And like you said, they can just match any offer. So I think that's probably where we stand here with Kobe White. But here's the other little wrinkle, and we're going to talk about Mitchell Robinson to end this show. But another little wrinkle here to consider when we're talking about Kobe White, Trey, is Lonzo Ball and his, you know, setbacks and his current health, which are giving some Bulls fans a lot of anxiety, which I totally understand. Just to kind of recap, you know, it's been a month or so since the season ended for the Bulls. So just to recap here, Lonzo Ball stopped running on his knee during the regular season. He had about a 10-day break there where, you know, Donovan said, hey, we're not going to call this a setback. And then April 6th was when they officially ruled him out for the remainder of the season. The Bulls had 3 games remaining on the schedule at that point. So, you know, they ruled him out before the season was over. Very clear that his knee just wasn't responding to that meniscus surgery. And, you know, a second procedure, it's not necessarily something that's definitely going to happen, but it is something that we need to be concerned about here. We need to be concerned that maybe he's not ready to even start next season, which, you know, LeVar Ball, his father, came out about 3 weeks ago and said, hey, he's going to be ready for the start of the season. So what do you think, Trey? I mean, are you concerned about Lonzo Ball's knee?
I mean, at this point, you have to be a little concerned. The original timeline was 4 to 6 weeks, and like, we see where that's at. For me, he already missed the last postseason, so I could not care less if he starts the season. In fact, I almost don't want him to play the first month of the season. What matters is playoff time. Lonzo, more than anyone on this team, is the key to playoff success for me. He's a 6'6" playmaking guard, and playmaker is the key thing there. Zach and DeMar, they're not great playmakers. And Lonzo, when you look at all of the advanced stats, his passes are high value passes. He always makes the right pass, and he gets guys buckets. I don't think the Bulls are legit contenders against some of these top tier defenses without having someone of Lonzo's caliber in that playmaking role. So to me, I don't care if he starts the season. All I want is for him to be as close to 100% as he can be, you know, when he starts playing. And I want, you know, if he plays 30 games this year, fine. You know, space him out, rest him. He has to be there come playoff time, because we saw what happened this last playoffs. We don't want to see that again when we get back there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the Bulls, you know, if you were to give them like a just kind of a pull a grade out of the air type thing, you know, the Bulls are a B team, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F. If the Bulls are a B team, you know, without Lonzo Ball, when they add Lonzo Ball to that mix, it takes them up to the A+, which is what we saw in the first month of the season when Lonzo was healthy. Because even before he was shut down and went and did that meniscus, you know, surgery, he wasn't 100%. You could tell. Just wasn't the same guy. He had set like a whole, 4.5 months, you know, there with this knee injury. So, you know, when he was out there, when he was 100% and looked like he was playing well, the Bulls were just exciting to watch. And once he was out, it was like night and day to me on the offensive end, especially in getting out in transition. It just wasn't happening, because, you know, we've mentioned it quite a few times on this pod, but getting the ball out in transition and scoring is one of the things the Bulls do best, and they do it efficiently compared to other teams in the NBA. And Lonzo's a big driver with that. He's a big key to that engine. Because of his ability to, you know, get the ball down the floor on the dribble or off the pass. And like you said, he makes the right passes, not just in transition, but also in the half court. But in transition is where I really noticed the difference there. It was a lot of fun to watch. So so you're saying maybe the Bulls try to move Kobe White for a wing or something like that. Say we don't have Lonzo Ball. Say we do that. We get a wing, you know, whoever wing, not going to be a starter necessarily, probably be a bench player.
We'll call him Torrey Craig.
Torrey Craig. We don't have Lonzo Ball to start the season. Are you comfortable, you know, starting the season and having Iodasumu be the de facto starting point guard for, I don't know, a good chunk of the season here?
I mean, we're assuming Zach's healthy to start the season, right?
Yeah, I think.
I think Zach is the primary guy this year. I think he is the guy who initiates most of the offense. I think Io is very capable of like getting them into sets or whatever, but I think Zach is going to be the guy who has the ball, who has the highest usage. So not having Lonzo there to start the season, honestly, I think it hurts the defense more than it hurts the offense for me, because you need those defensive repetitions to kind of get used to playing on a string with other guys, because They're like scrambling in the finals. It's not, you know, just, okay, we're going to set the screen and you cover my guy. It's all about, you know, scrambling, recovering back. You have to like pre-rotate. And then when you have to chase the guy, you're not chasing the guy you think you're chasing. Like, there's so much to it that I think the reps on defense is what I'll miss more than the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's all missed time here for Lonzo Ball, unfortunately, and for the rest of the Bulls. You know, it seems like there's so much potential, and we're just missing out on it, unfortunately. But that's how injuries work, and we'll just have to wait for him to get healthy, unfortunately.
Do you know what team I was saying this? I was having this same thing about last offseason. Injuries, health, they looked so good when they were together, but they just they. Between COVID and everything else,
Boston Celtics.
Season from hell. The Boston Celtics. And look at where they are now.
I would love
If we could get the health that they had this season,
yeah.
I think the Bulls could be the number one seed in the East very easily. We saw how well they had the number one seed when they were healthy this year. And if they could stay healthy, I honestly believe, even without Gobert, even with Vooch, I think this team could be the number one team in the East. I don't know that they would be the favorites, a lot like the Miami Heat were this year. But I do think that when push comes to shove, the Bulls can contend if they're at full strength. It's just about getting to that full strength.
It's easy out there for Bulls fans to forget, man. I mean, the Bulls were... started as, you know, everyone's kind of making fun of them. DeMar DeRozan was a bad signing in the offseason, and no one really thought that they were going to be above an eighth or ninth seed, except for us, right? We thought, you know, hey, this team probably going to be somewhere in the middle of the standings, I think, you know, 4 or 5, somewhere in there, which, you know, turned out to be the case, but they end up sixth. But you know, we were higher on them than the national media. Then the national media caught up, and all of a sudden people were, you know, picking the Bulls to win the East. You know, some people were in the national media. And then, you know, Lonzo Ball, the Lonzo Ball injury was a big thing that blew, that was a blow to us, and Zach LaVine not being 100%. So there was just a lot of stuff there. And Caruso being out.
Caruso and Lonzo, they were both being talked about in the national discourse as both being all defensive caliber players.
Right.
To make the all defensive team. When you're playing at a high enough level that the national media is talking about how you need to be on an all defensive team when you're not a star that early in the season, that just shows the defensive impact that that they're having on the game. And that I think is what would be key to the Bulls really being able to contend, because when it's the half court game, even the Warriors are struggling to score in the finals. The Boston Celtics, it's all about getting out in transition, and then when you do get bogged down in the half court, having a guy who can make a tough bucket if you're in that group of contenders. If you're not in that group, you know, the teams can exploit you and beat you however, but if you're a real elite team, you have to be able to get out in transition, and you have to be able to score in tough half court situations.
And we've got healthy, two guys.
I think
at
the
least,
Bulls can, like, yeah, healthy. I think the Bulls can do both of those things.
I mean, yeah, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, elite level as far as that goes. I mean, we saw what they did in the fourth quarter to start the season. Again, Zach LaVine, you know, injured. I know he's having an offseason procedure. I believe it's coming up here relatively shortly here that he should be healthy and good to go when the season starts. But hopefully that gets him right, because what we saw the previous two seasons with Zach LaVine was, you know, elite level offensive creation, offensive playmaking, especially in the half court, which is where the Bulls were trying to score because they weren't getting out in transition before Lonzo Ball and all them came over and we got Billy Donovan. So I'm excited to see it, man. I think Bulls fans have a lot to be heartened about. I think that there is, you know, the sky is the limit here. Before we do move on here, I got one more guy we got to talk about here that the Bulls have been linked to in free agency. But before we do that, I want to just tell you guys that there's no such thing as a fantasy offseason. There really isn't. No fantasy offseason. It's just the pre-draft season. Here at Sports Ethos, the pre-draft season has already begun. Our expert analysts are churning out important lessons learned and draft analysis on incoming rookies, so you can get a jump on your prep, and we'll have incredible free agency and summer league coverage as well. But only if you're part of our premium member team. Head to sportsethos.com now and click on the premium tab to grab a fantasy pass today. Seriously, cook yourself one extra lunch per month because it's only $5.99. See you there. Go do it. I'm already getting pumped up, man. I was doing a little bit of draft prep earlier today for a upcoming auction draft, which I'm excited about. I've never done an auction draft before, but this will be a first for me. But anyways, go get that. Go win your leagues. But Trey, there is another guy that we've been linked to here, which I'm kind of excited about. I know you mentioned him already in this pod, but Mitchell Robinson is a guy that the Bulls have been linked to as having some interest. Obviously, up until the Knicks were talking about an extension with Mitchell Robinson, up until those talks were shut down, the Bulls were linked to Mitchell Robinson at that point. Then the Knicks shut down any extension talks there or any kind of trade talks. So now he's a free agent, and, you know, I saw here in this piece from the New York Post that we're looking at probably at least $11 million per year for Mitchell Robinson. And if we extend, we have about $49 million in cap space, but if we extend Zach LaVine with the max, that's going to mean we don't really have that cap space. So we'll probably have to get rid of somebody to add Mitchell Robinson, which I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think you can get rid of I don't know. I haven't looked at the Bulls contracts, but you can probably get rid of somebody that's not playing a significant role. But $11 million per year for Mitchell Robinson, do you think that's worth it?
Do we get Gobert?
In this scenario, no. I would think if you get Gobert,
I would get rid of Derek Jones Jr. and Troy Brown to be able to sign Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of what you're looking at here, especially DJJ. I think he's making $9 million a year as of last year. So if you get rid of him, basically, I think that's basically where you can slot Mitchell Robinson. And I would love Mitchell Robinson, man. I would. And in the report here also says that they're playing him.
How do they have us getting to that much cap room, though? I don't see a way for the Bulls to get cap room.
I think that the $49 million number came from just Zach LaVine's contract coming off the books. So, but once he gets extended, I think that's basically
right. But he has a So I'm on cleaningtheglass.com right now, and even if we renounce Derek Jones Jr. and Troy Brown, we're still at negative $8.3 million because Zach's cap hold is 29. We've got DeMar making 27, Vooch making 22, Zach's scheduled at 29. Lonzo's making 19.5, Caruso 9 million, Patrick Williams 7.8. You're not getting rid of any of those guys. So at that point, even if you move Kobe White, he's only making 7.4. I don't think we can get Mitchell Robinson with straight up cap space unless Zach leaves.
Yeah. I've got to extend a invite here again to my guy that's a Bulls capologist. We can get him on the show here so we can talk about this. There's got to be some way though, because otherwise there'd be no smoke to those rumors. But
well, the Bulls have that 6.3 taxpayer mid-level. And if the Knicks let Mitchell Robinson walk, it's hard telling what kind of market's going to be out there for him. I know he hasn't necessarily played a whole lot. I think he's been injured and he's also been kind of a backup. So the one guy I heard talking about it, he thought he might come over on like that 1 year deal to try and reestablish his value to people, because if there's one place where you're going to be able to show off how much better of a defensive center you are, Chicago is a good place to do it with Vucevic.
So the report from the New York Post also mentioned that the Bulls would be wanting to play.
Maybe we could trade Kobe White for him.
He'd be wanting to play.
There are options, like sign and trade. I was just more like, I don't think we can do it with straight cap space. I think we would have to trade an asset, which I'd happily trade Kobe White for him. Would you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Right, yeah.
And but they're reportedly going to try to play him next to Vucevic, which I love. I think so. You're talking about Boston Celtics, obviously. You're talking about Robert Williams, and they've got Al Horford out there too. I mean, I see that as a similar pairing. I don't think it's necessarily exactly the same. I think obviously I take Horford and Rob Will. I certainly take over Mitchell Robinson. But I don't know. How do you feel about those two sharing the court together with Mitchell Robinson and Vucevic?
Oh, I love it. I love the idea of having Mitchell Robinson
having that
be the
ability,
guy
alone. Yeah, exactly. He can play that kind of free safety, and he's such a good shot blocker. He does struggle with some foul trouble, obviously, because he does get out of position. So his defense isn't great, but his rim protection is elite. And I think
I don't know if he would struggle with the foul trouble if he's not having to bang against other centers and he's not that's not constantly getting caught up in the pick and rolls. I think that would be an excellent pairing, and I hadn't heard that until you just said it, and I'm just gleeful with joy at the thought of that.
Well, like you said, just like they do with Rob Williams, you stick him on the corner three guy. If he has to run out there and block a shot, he can.
Pelicans do it with Jackson Hayes and Valanciunas. The Memphis Grizzlies do it with Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. Great effect. There is a huge trend in the NBA of letting your big athletes just roam and be able, because they can play above the rim, that being able to come out, like you even see it in the finals, Kevin Looney and Draymond Green. Draymond, everyone thinks Draymond's the better player. Right now, Kevin Looney's more effective at protecting the rim for me, because you can go over Draymond now. You can't go over Looney. And it would be the same with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. So I love that idea. And obviously, the Tony Bradley situation didn't work out. I think, obviously if you have a front court rotation of Vooch and Mitchell Robinson and it'd be Patrick Williams, he would still be here also as the four. I think that's a fantastic, front court rotation. And you have the ability to go big against some of these teams. Like if you were to match up against Boston, I think that's when you definitely throw, Mitch Rob out there with Vooch and maybe slide Patrick Williams to the three. And then maybe you have, you'd have some options. That's all I'm trying to say. But basically, we got crushed on the boards and just with size and physicality for so many games. I think that solves a lot of those issues. Wouldn't you agree?
It would. And Lonzo was one of the better rebounding guards. I think he would have, he'll help with the rebounding issues. But yeah, just having more size on the court, being able to make a team play, be uncomfortable when they play you. I think that's what the Celtics have done so well this year, is they can take away whatever you like to do. And then if you're having to play left-handed, you make, you're a little sloppier, you make a couple mistakes. And on the flip side, Boston is so versatile on the offensive end. They can mix and match their personnel to where they can create an advantage, even if they might not have, you know, a super duper star in the level of a Curry or a Giannis or, you know, a prime Durant.
Mitchell Robinson, a second round pick. He made $1.8 million last season, which obviously that was a fantastic contract. I wish we got him for that. But he is an unrestricted free agent. Like I said, I read in this report, he's looking for approximately $11 million annually. That's kind of like the, like you're talking about, Trey, you know, it all depends on what the market is for the guy. And there's not like a vast market for Mitchell Robinson right now because he hasn't played necessarily up to his potential. And there are concerns about him being kind of immature. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, it's just like with a basketball card or something. Like, yeah, sure, you might say it's worth $11 million, but that's only if somebody's willing to pay $11 million for that basketball card. If no one out there is willing to pay this guy $11 million, if he comes over and slots into that, I think he said we have a $6.3 million exception there. That would be fantastic. I think that's really a contract that's worth it. You know, that, and you were talking about Robin Williams and Al Horford, that kind of situation too. It's the same kind of thing because I know up until this season, I believe it was, you know, Robert Williams wasn't making a whole lot of money either, but it's just his fit in this system works so well. And yeah, I would love this. I think this is the preferred thing. Let me put this question to you, Trey. If you have an option of trading Patrick Williams and Vooch for Rudy Gobert, which I know you're not high on, maybe you get something back that makes that more appealing to you. Or you, so let me put it this way. If you can trade Kobe White and the pick and Vooch for Gobert, which is your preferred thing, or if you were to just go ahead and sign Mitchell Robinson, which of those two scenarios do you think makes the Bulls better?
Gobert.
Yeah.
Like he is just such a special guy, and the level that he would raise this team on the defensive end, I don't think it can be overstated enough. It's
so let's say Gobert, let's say all the way. Let's say you have to give up Patrick Williams. Now does that change it for you?
Is it? Do I like the team with Mitchell Robinson and Patrick Williams better?
Right.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because who's guarding Tatum?
Good question. It would have to be.
Who's guarding Durant? Who's guarding Giannis?
Well, we saw Mitchell Robinson. We've seen how Kevin Looney has done on Tatum, but no, I really think they would struggle to defend those guys. I agree with you there. So Patrick Williams has to be that guy for us, and he is so valuable. So that's why I think, you know, we are in agreement
like,
here.
You can like trust in AK if he trades Patrick Williams. I'm all for it. If that's what he thinks is the right thing to do, he has made enough correct moves that I will support whatever decision the front office makes, because I think whatever issues I have, they're 14 steps ahead of where we are.
Right.
So if they move Patrick Williams, AK knows, okay, I got to get a wing. He's going to have someone in mind. But, you know, until I know who we might be able to get to guard the Tatums of the world, I just prefer to hold on to Patrick Williams.
We are, I believe, a couple weeks out here from the NBA draft. So obviously that's picking up a lot of steam here. And we're going to be with you guys, you know, next week and hopefully discussing a little bit more about who we think the Bulls are going to take. Maybe we'll have some guys really nailed down here as we get a little bit more information from the experts out there. And obviously, like I said, July 1st is another big date because that's when free agency opens up, and maybe the Bulls make a splash right away again, just like they did with Lonzo Ball when the last free agency period opened. So we'll see how that goes. But I think it's going to do it for us here, Trey. Until next time, you can follow me on Twitter. I am Keith Cork. I am on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And follow the show at Ethos Bulls. That's at Ethos Bulls. And please, guys, if you're out there listening, and girls, if you're listening on the iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what we need to improve on. We really, 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 you know, rely on you guys to help us reach more ears by giving us those reviews. So little 5 stars, tell us what we need to do better. Tell us what we're doing well. We'd love to hear from you. Please do that if you have 5 minutes today. But until next time, go Bulls.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.